It took just 1 minute on a December day for a group of attackers to permanently disfigure and blind Alana Quinn Idris in one eye. Josh Cummins and Dara Lyons are already sentenced for their role in the vicious assault. And yesterday, Jack Cummins pleaded guilty to procuring the commission of assault, causing serious harm to Alana, and has been jailed for 6 years. A fourth man who hit Alana with an e-scooter saddle has never been identified. Outside the courtroom, Alana bravely said that she hoped to continue to use her platform to highlight the issue of violence against women. And Alana joins me now in studio. Hello.
Hi.
Great to meet you.
Thank you. Yeah. Nice to meet you too.
So I want to take you back to life before the 30th of December 2021. You were 17. Mm. Typical teenager. What was life like?
At the time, actually quite good, which I wouldn't have said like about any other really time in my teens. Like, I was getting in a really good place. I had like, you know, like a solid, you know, a group of friends that were like really good to me at the time. And I had started seeing my then boyfriend, but now ex. So yeah. But and like, even in myself, like I was like kind of getting like happy in myself. I'd really struggled in like the past, like with my mental health and stuff. And I was like kind of getting to a point where I was like kind of, you know, like happy to actually be me. Which was great, but then I wasn't. So, yeah.
So you were coming to a place of confidence, really.
Yeah, literally,
becoming a young woman. Yeah, mm-hmm,
and I remember, like, actually, like, kind of like realizing it as well. Like at the time, I was like, you know, kind of like, you know, looking at myself in the mirror and being like, oh wow, like that's good. Like, you know what I mean, good. And but then like also acknowledging, I was like, oh, I haven't felt like this in I don't know how long.
You were evolving. Growing up. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, my brain was, you know, fully developing.
Wow.
Yeah, or getting there.
Okay, so then on the night of your attack, you were on a bus with your now ex, mm-hmm. and you encountered Jack Cummins. Mm-hmm. There was a verbal exchange between the two men, and that was when Jack made the phone call to his cousin. Is that mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because it wasn't even just then when he did it. There was the altercation, and then he left and we left. Like, you know, everybody like left each other in completely different directions. And that's when he went and made the phone call, which is like one of the most like, what's the word? Like just like irritating parts about it, because it was like there was no need for you to do that. Like, you know, everybody went their own way. But he felt the need to call his cousin.
So this was Josh Cummins, the uh-huh. cousin of Jack.
Yeah.
He phone called, and yeah. Dara Lyons and another man still has never been identified. Mm-hmm. So Josh arrived with a hurl.
Yeah.
And another assailant used the saddle of the electric scooter.
Yeah.
What? So tell me what happened.
Yeah, so basically what happened was we were standing there, and like we were just standing there talking. We were waiting for my friend to change. Like, so where the bus stop was like directly across the road was our house, so we didn't go far at all. Like, and we were standing there talking for like what I felt like was ages, but apparently it wasn't. And he said to me, he goes, "That's him again coming back around." And I was like, and I literally remember said to him, I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Why would you be doing that?" I said, "That's ridiculous." I said, I literally said, "You're paranoid." But then, because then two fellas came this way and two fellas came this way, and I seen it actually was him, and I was like, oh my God, like what's going on? And he threw his jacket to me basically, and Dara Lyons came across the road first, because he was the biggest out of all of them, because they're all quite small. And he came across first, and they were in each other's faces, and that's when I got between them, and that's when Dara Lyons hit me. He just hit me to the ground, and then I got up straight after that. And then I went, and then I like stood up and seen all of them were like bashing Lewis over the head. And that's when I went over, like, to apparently they sent it to CCTV. I went over to try like pull Josh off or something. I don't even remember, because I just then was like gone. Like, I got hit in the face, punched first, then got back up off the floor, and then went towards them. And then they said that the fella that was unidentified, he took the bike saddle and turned to me and swung it like a baseball bat. Like, so, like, purposely, like, swung it at my face and then hit me, and then I was gone from then. I don't remember any of that.
So he removed a metal bar from a scooter, basically.
Yeah, basically. Before even any of the fight actually started, to be honest, they said on CCTV, as soon as the first lot of them were walking across the road, you could see him pulling it, because you can detach them. Like, so you could see him pulling the saddle from the e-scooter, like.
And yeah. Is that kind of the last thing you remember, really?
Yeah, literally. The last thing I remember is standing back up from being punched. And then that was it. And I was gone. But then I, like, obviously afterwards, like when we were waiting on the ambulance and stuff, like I was like in and out of consciousness, like getting sick and stuff. And I remember turning, looking at my ex, like Lewis, and he was just drenched. Like it was like a Carrie, you know, the film Carrie.
Yes.
And it was blood literally pouring from his head. Like, and I was like, what is going on? Like, I just, was, I don't know if it was in shock or what it was, but I was just so confused. And there was like so many people around me. Like my friend had come out then from her house and like her ma was there, and like there was just random strangers as well because people had gotten out of their cars. So I was like freaking out because I was like, I don't know, like what's happening? Like where am I? What's like going on? So it was really weird. It was really
you have
weird.
A really brave energy, you know that?
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, you really do. And the judge praised the passerby who intervened and stopped the attack on you. Do you have anything to say to those passerbys?
Oh, I don't even know who those people are actually still to this day, but I would really like if they were to hear me now say, like, thank you so much, like, because you essentially, like, saved both me and Lewis's life. So grateful. Like, I wish I knew who they were, like, but honestly not.
And then, obviously, ambulance arrived and you go to hospital and that minute your life changed forever.
Yeah, literally. It was insane. And obviously, I didn't know that until I was transferred from the James's hospital to the Eye and Ear, where they could actually like examine the eye. But like when I was in the hospital, like initially I just thought like, oh, I'm just out there getting bit, like beaten up, like it's terrible, but like, you know, it's whatever, like, do you know what I mean? But then when we went to the Eye and Ear hospital and they like actually like examined me and I had to have emergency surgery that night, that's when it was kind of settling into me. I was like, oh, this is actually bad, like this, because at that point I actually didn't know I was hit with the saddle. I did, like, I, because I didn't remember. I don't remember being hit with it, so I didn't know I was. I thought I was just maybe punched again.
So you had no idea?
No, I really didn't. I have like kind of a, like a full understanding of it until they kind of said to me in the hospital, they were like, there's like a 99.99% chance like you won't see again out of your eye. And I was like, well, there's still a 1.0001% chance, like, but there wasn't.
And then your parents arrive?
Yeah, well, my ma arrived before the ambulance did, because it was right around the corner from my house. So my ma ran from the house, and she was pregnant as well at the time, God bless her.
Wow.
Yeah, like very pregnant, like, so it was very stressful. And then my dad, I think my dad didn't, because my dad lives in Blanchardstown, so he didn't actually get there. Like, he got to the hospital, like, I think, I don't really know. He either could have been there before the ambulance. I really don't
so
know.
So do you remember the atmosphere in the hospital around you at the time?
Oh, for everybody else, it was horrible. But I was cracking jokes. Like, I was.
Were you?
Yeah, I was. I turned around to my man. I said, "So can I get a dog now?" Or like, and I still have no dog. But sure, but that's because I just didn't know how bad it was. But like at first, like before, like when I was like in the initial pain and everything, and they were giving me morphine and stuff. So yeah. I was kind of a bit looping, and then I was getting sick off the morphine. So the atmosphere was really intense. Obviously, me poor ma like was like in hysterics, and me dad and me auntie and all was there, and everybody else was really panicking, and I was just kind of just like out of head.
There was a doctor came in and got very upset.
I was in like a neck brace and everything, so it was like immediate kind of like trauma, I don't know. And they were basically just making sure like I wasn't going to be paralyzed or anything. There was a doctor, so many doctors in and out really, I don't really remember a lot of it, but I remember a man came in. And he was kind of just looking at me. I don't know. He was probably giving me medicine or something. And he just like just burst into tears, like just started bawling, crying. And I'm there, like out of my head, like why is he crying? Like what's going on? And my dad was in the room, and he kind of just like cried into me, dad. And he was like, I have a daughter her age, like, and like he was basically just like the state of her, like she's like this is really really bad, like. So I was kind of like. I hadn't even looked in the mirror yet.
Yeah.
At this time, so I was like, oh my god.
So
like,
can you? Take us through the injuries, what actually happened then?
So what happened was when I was hit was that it shattered my orbital floor and my orbital wall. So the bottom and the right side of my eye socket, basically. And my eyeball was pushed so far back into my head that the optic nerve, I think that's the right word, was disconnected entirely. So from when I was hit straight away, I was blind. Like it just completely disconnected from how hard I was hit. And then I had like a crack along the right side of my nose and my sinuses, and then one of my teeth was broken, and I think that was it.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
So when did you realise that the damage was as bad as it was?
It would have been a day or two later. When I was in the Eye and Ear, I was in the Eye and Ear for like almost a week, like a good few days, because I had the emergency surgery that night. But they would take me like every few hours or so and take me into a room, and like a doctor would check, like open, because it was so swollen that you actually had to open my eye with your hand. So that's what they would do. They take me and then like check it and whatever. So basically one of the doctors left. I was by myself in the room. The doctors left. My ma was in like my room. waiting. And I took it upon myself. I got up and there was like a little tiny mirror like on the wall, and I like opened it up and I saw, and it was like from like all the like the antiseptic stuff they do put in, it was like all green, like a luminous green, and like it didn't look like an eye. It looked like something out of a horror film. And that's when I was like, can I course? I'm not allowed, of course.
Probably not.
No, probably not. Okay. I was going to. I was just kind of like, oh my God, like this is, what is that? And I literally, like, my mom was in a completely separate room, but she heard me screaming and crying because I just, like, was like,
what's happening?
It literally blew my mind. I was like, what? Like, that's actually my face. Like, so I think it was then I actually was like, this is something's actually really, really wrong. Like, they're not really going to be able to fix this. Like, and the doctors kind of knew themselves that they wouldn't be able to, but like, nobody kind of knew how to actually say it to me.
You were at the time preparing for your leaving cert.
Yeah, I was.
So,
yeah.
How much did your life change?
Oh, it was really, really weird. So, like, skill wise, I missed obviously lots and lots of skill. And then just because I wasn't physically able to get there. But then even when I was physically able to get there, it was hard to be there because...
Of course.
It was just, obviously everybody knew. Like, I mean, I had to wear a shield over my face for a while. So that was like very obvious. Like, and I had an SNA as well, who had helped me, which was great. But at the same time, it's like, you know, from doing 6 years in skill without ever needing like supports or anything like that to like having somebody having to walk you up and down the stairs.
Oh my God, yeah.
Because I don't have depth perception, like, so I would have fallen down the stairs. So thanks to her, Miss Tull. yeah, it was really hard. And then, like, I felt really alienated. I don't know. I felt like I couldn't really be anywhere because I just felt like being alone. Like, I just wanted to isolate myself and just be alone, like, entirely.
How many surgeries did you end up having?
Five or six. I'll know if I count.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to say off
the top of my head. A lot.
Yeah, definitely a lot, yeah.
You were handed an apology letter from Jack Cummins. How did you feel about that apology?
I took a copy of it and I actually don't know where I put it now. I kind of just read it. This is like basically like the next proceeding after he said, oh, I'll plead guilty now. Like, because he'd been pleading not guilty the whole entire time. And then there was that, and then I was handed a letter. And I kind of read it, and basically like what it said was that, like, oh, he's really, really sorry and he never meant for anything to happen. And he's sorry for all of the pain that me and my family are going through. And what really got me in it was he said, if me apologising to you face to face will help you heal in some way, I'm happy to do that. And I kind of just sat there and I read that. And I looked at the guard that gave it to me, and he was like, well, they want to know if you accept apology or not. I said, I'll acknowledge it, but I'm not accepting it because, like, what is that to me? Do you know what I mean? Like, after all of this time, all of this opportunity to, you know, show some actual form of remorse, like, saying sorry isn't showing remorse. Do you know what I mean? It's saying sorry, especially, you know, when you consider mitigating factors and stuff in the courts. I just kind of thought it was just like another kind of, I just felt it was very cheeky.
Okay.
Just felt very cheeky. Yeah.
You said some really profound things yesterday.
Uh-huh.
You said you were left completely and permanently blind and disfigured and did not look or feel like the same person.
Mm-hmm.
That's a powerful thing to say.
Yeah. So.
And you said, I will never be the woman I was supposed to be. That actually really upsets me as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry. You're so powerful. Your strength is coming out of you. What's gotten you through this? I mean, it's been a long time. It's been 21 to 25, 4 years of your life, your young life.
Yeah. I've had a lot of therapy even before this. So I feel like I've had very, you know, just good coping mechanisms. You know, I'm very good at kind of just like looking at a situation, seeing it as it is, and you know, you kind of have to move then with what it is. I'm very much dissociated from the situation, if I'm putting it really honestly. Like, I really struggle being like actually vulnerable and, you know, like emotional about it. But I just, you know, kind of feel like with the type of person I am, and now that this is out there happening to me, like the only kind of way I feel it's the best way to go about it is to be like, as you would say, I don't like to say it myself, but like strong, because I'm not going to waste it, you know what I mean? Like, so much has already been taken from me that I can't, you know, I have to give now, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a long process.
Yeah. It's very dragged out.
Wasn't it? I mean, yeah. I know that's the process, I suppose. But are you happy it's over?
I'm delighted. I'm delighted, honestly. If I don't see them courts again, like, I couldn't. I really am. Like 6 years obviously isn't, compared to now, like, you know, the life I have to live. It's ridiculous.
The big glaring issue is the fourth person.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is remarkable that he hasn't been brought to justice. What would you say to that?
Yeah, and he's more than likely walking around my area. Like, I could walk past him almost every day and not even know.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's ridiculous. But it's just the fact that he knows and they know.
Yeah.
But they're choosing to, you know, obviously keep it to themselves for whatever reasons that they have.
I know Ballyfermot well. Grew up there. My grandmother's from Ballyfermot. Yeah. And at the time of the attack, there was a vigil.
Yeah.
And that the community came together to show solidarity and to show that they are not okay with violence, particularly it doesn't matter if your age or gender. In your opinion, what conversations need to start with young people when it comes to violence in society?
I think people need to hold people accountable. If, especially in Ireland, there's this culture around just turning your head, turning a blind eye, come from me. To people's behaviours, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like the conversation we need to be have is that we need to acknowledge this and we need to say, like, this isn't okay. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, there is always, you know, opportunity to be a better person, do you know what I mean? And if you see somebody displaying behaviours, abusive behaviours, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to say something. Like, you weren't the bad person for saying something. Like, I've had people, you know, speak to me and look at me and say things about me as if I'm the bad person in my situation because I'm not allowing it to just, like, happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, that's the thing as well, like, with younger kids as well, like, they feel that they can go out and do what they want and torment people and treat people how they want and nothing's going to be said to them.
Mm.
But, like, you know, one day you're going to meet somebody like me and something's going to be said to you. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I think those are the conversations we need to be having. I think we need to be acknowledging this behaviour because at the end of the day, it's only going to get worse. And, like, I think we all know and are all aware of how bad things are getting in Dublin.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's disgraceful.
And, yeah, it has to start from a younger age, really, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
You're incredibly strong. You're powerful. You have a power. It's really, it's lovely to be around.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, really and truly. What's life like for Alana now?
Oh, very boring.
We like boring.
And I told my taxi driver on the way in, I said, the man in the security box, I said, I'd love to have that job. And he said, oh, no, it'd be very boring. I said, I love being boring. It's really great because, like, you don't have to really worry about it.
That's anything. So refreshing.
Yeah.
Tell me, but you're modelling.
I am, yeah. I have been now for just over a year. I love it. It's great. Yeah, I haven't done a job in a little bit of a while now, but yeah. I love it. Yeah, it's great. It's nothing better than just getting a photo taken of you that you like.
Yeah, and I suppose because of the situation, you've also said that working as a model has been, in some ways, it's been, you're not going to be able to do what you think you possibly could have done.
No, definitely not. Like, I know, like, the world, you know, likes to, you know, there's a lot of inclusivity and stuff like that, but I feel like, unfortunately, like, when you are somebody with a difference, you're only really looked out for
your difference,
for the difference and for the inclusivity, whereas, like, beforehand, but, like, at the same time, like, there isn't really anything wrong with that, but I feel like, you know, like, it is obviously going to limit me, like, do you know what I mean? Like, with modern, like, you're putting like a pack of looks, like, do you know what I mean? And they select out the looks and, like, you know, it's more than likely not going to be everybody's look.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think you're way more than your look, though. You've got it made. Yeah, you're so strong.
I'm a good talker.
So what's the future? What's the hope? Future. Aspirations?
I'm hoping to go back and finish college now. And then, you know, kind of, I really need to, you know, buckle down and maybe get a job.
I think you deserve a holiday, let's just say. On behalf of Ireland, take a holiday.
I might do. I'm supposed to be going to Jamaica next year. So
amazing. Is there any one song that got you through tough times that you'd like, that you've listened to?
Oh, God.
Any one song?
Why? I knew you were going to ask me something like that, but I actually didn't pick a song. Oh, that got me through tough times. I listened to a lot of David Bowie.
Okay.
I'd say that, yeah. I couldn't say one song, but I do like a lot.
Of course you like Bowie.
Of course I do. Cool. See the way I'm dressed.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely play Bowie then. I'm really humbled by you, Alana. You're amazing.
Thank you. You're strong.
Yeah. So and I can't wait to see what's in store for you in the future because I really feel it's bright for you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
And you deserve it. The karma is coming. Thank you so much, Alana.
Perfect. Thanks so much.